U.S., Iran trade missile fire as diplomatic window narrows. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650. On June 1, 2026, U.S. Central Command confirmed strikes on Iranian radar and drone installations in Goruk and Keshm Island in response to Iran shooting down a U.S. MQ-1 drone over international waters. Iran and hashtag X27's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps announced retaliatory strikes on the U.S. airbase identified as the launch point, with Kuwait intercepting missile and drone attacks on Monday. The April 8 ceasefire between the United States and Iran is not functioning as a true ceasefire but rather as a billing interval between strikes, leaving institutional investors exposed to unpriced geopolitical risk. The ceasefire signed on April 8 between the United States and Iran is not a ceasefire. It is a billing interval between strikes, and institutional investors pricing energy, shipping, and Gulf sovereign credit on the assumption of de-escalation are carrying unpriced risk. On June 1, 2026, U.S. Central Command confirmed weekend strikes on Iranian radar and drone installations in Goruk and on Keshm Island, carried out in response to Iran shooting down a U.S. MQ-1 drone over international waters. Within hours, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps announced a retaliatory strike on the U.S. airbase it identified as the launch point for those attacks, with Kuwait state news agency Kuna separately reporting that Kuwaiti air defenses intercepted missile and drone attacks on Monday, 1-3. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Esmoel Baghiayi posted on X that Tehran retains the right to strike regional bases and assets used to attack it. This is not a proxy skirmish. It is a direct exchange of fire between two nuclear-adjacent powers, conducted while diplomats in a separate track discuss a declaration of principles. President Donald Trump posted that he is close to achieving a very good deal with Iran. The gap between that claim and Monday's battlefield reality defines the pricing dislocation institutional capital must now navigate. The Komala Kurdish opposition party's senior official Amjad Hussein Panahi stated that more than 81 Iranian missiles and drones have struck Komala bases and headquarters since the war began on February 28. That figure alone describes the operational tempo of a sustained, multi-front conflict, not a contained bilateral dispute. Key risk marker, Brent crude jumped from $73 to $126 a barrel at one point since the war began on February 28, the highest level recorded since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. A $10 per barrel increase in oil translates to roughly 7 pence per liter at UK pumps, according to analysts cited by BBC News. The Hormuz choke point, how Iran has weaponized maritime sovereignty. The Strait of Hormuz is the singular vulnerability in global energy logistics, and Iran has transformed it into a tool of coercive diplomacy backed by kinetic force. On April 18, Iranian forces fired on two Indian vessels in the strait, citing lack of transit authorization. 4 days later, on April 22, the IRGC fired on three additional ships and seized two foreign container vessels, the Panama-flagged MSC Francesca and the Liberian-flagged Epaminondas. On April 20, U.S. forces captured an Iranian container ship near the Gulf, which Tehran labeled an act of piracy. The Trump administration imposed a naval blockade on Iranian port traffic 4 days after the April 8 ceasefire took effect. What this means in market terms, two sovereign naval forces are now conducting interdiction operations against commercial shipping in one of the world's highest volume energy corridors. The seizures of MSC Francesca and Epaminondas are not incidents. They are a policy instrument. Our view, shipping insurers pricing war risk premiums on Gulf transits are still calibrating to a conflict that has escalated faster than their actuarial models anticipated. The precedent from 2019 tanker seizures in the same waterway produced a spike in war risk insurance premiums that peaked within weeks. The current operational tempo is materially more intensive than 2019. The UAE and Saudi Arabia exposure, Gulf sovereign credit under pressure. The conflict has spread beyond bilateral U.S.-Iran exchange into the broader Gulf Cooperation Council architecture. On May 4, the UAE accused Iran of launching missiles and drones that triggered a fire at an oil refinery in Fujairah and wounded three Indian nationals. On May 17, a drone struck the perimeter of the Barakah nuclear energy plant in the UAE, raising concerns about potential nuclear facility escalation. The UAE stated the drones were launched from its western border without directly naming Iran. On the same day, Saudi Arabia intercepted three drones fired from Iraqi airspace. These are sovereign infrastructure attacks on two of the Gulf Cooperation Council's anchor economies. The Barakah incident in particular carries a risk premium that energy and infrastructure investors have not fully priced. A nuclear facility perimeter strike, regardless of whether it caused radiological damage, details on plant status were not disclosed in the source material, changes the perceived risk envelope for Gulf energy infrastructure investment permanently. Kuwait activated air defenses and its foreign ministry described the Iranian attack as heinous. Kuwait hosts a major U.S. military base, Camp Arifjan, making it an embedded node in the U.S. military footprint and therefore a structural target in Iran's deterrence calculus. Our view, Gulf Cooperation Council sovereign credit spreads have historically underpriced geopolitical tail risk relative to comparable emerging market peers. Investors holding Kuwaiti, UAE, or Saudi sovereign paper should model a scenario in which infrastructure strikes become systematic rather than episodic. UK fuel prices and the demand side transmission to European consumers. The war's commodity transmission mechanism is running exactly as energy economists predicted, with lags. UK petrol reached 158.5 pence per litre on May 19, the highest level since the conflict began. Diesel reached 185.9 pence per litre on the same date. The RAC Motoring Group warned that unleaded petrol could rise to at least 160 pence per litre absent a dramatic and sustained drop in oil prices. Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced on May 20 that a planned 5 pence per litre fuel duty increase scheduled for September would be postponed to December 31 in direct response to the conflict. The commodity math is direct. Brent crude at $126 per barrel, against a pre-war baseline of $73, represents a 73% increase from trough to peak. At the 7 pence per litre transmission ratio cited by analysts, that $53 swing implies approximately 37 pence of incremental pump cost per litre at full pass-through. UK retailers have not fully passed through the increase, and the official markets regulator confirmed it found no evidence of active pricing strategy changes by retailers to exploit the crisis. Caption: UK energy price transmission from Brent crude to retail pump, February to May 2026. Pre-war petrol baseline not specified in source. The UK government's deferral of fuel duty is a fiscal subsidy to consumers financed by Treasury headroom, and it signals that European governments are willing to absorb near-term fiscal costs to manage household energy inflation. For investors in European utilities and downstream energy retail, the regulatory backstop reduces margin squeeze risk in the short term but creates medium-term uncertainty about duty normalization timing. Diplomacy running parallel to kinetics, the deal that may not close. Trump's statement that a very good deal is close stands against a battlefield record that shows neither side has stopped shooting since the April 8 ceasefire. CENTCOM struck Bandar Abbas on May 28, destroying 5 Iranian attack drones and a ground control station. The IRGC responded with a warning that any repeat would draw further retaliation. The architecture of a potential agreement is described in source material as a 60-day proposal and a declaration of principles, but terms were not disclosed in the available sources. What is disclosed is the sequencing problem. The U.S. imposed a naval blockade on Iranian ports 4 days after the ceasefire began. Iran responded with maritime interdiction. Each side is simultaneously pursuing diplomacy and applying coercive pressure, a pattern that historically extends conflict timelines and complicates deal closure. Baghi's accusation that the European Union displayed selective moral outrage by condemning Iranian strikes on Kuwait while failing to condemn U.S. attacks launched from Gulf bases adds a multilateral dimension. The EU's position, criticizing Iran for strikes that violate Kuwait's sovereignty while remaining silent on the U.S. naval blockade, is a geopolitical posture with implications for sanctions architecture and capital access for companies doing business across both Western and Gulf markets. The Plaquemium view: the market is treating the U.S.-Iran conflict as a binary, either a deal closes and Brent normalizes toward $80, or the war escalates into full Hormuz closure and oil tests $150. Both framings miss the more probable and more damaging third path, a sustained, managed conflict with periodic flare-ups that keeps energy volatility elevated, shipping insurance costs structurally higher, and Gulf CapEx decisions on hold for 12 to 24 months. The evidence for this third path is already in the data. The ceasefire has been in place since April 8. It has produced zero operational ceasefire. CENTCOM struck Iranian assets on 4 separate documented occasions between April 8 and June 1. Iran seized 2 commercial vessels, struck the UAE twice, and fired on Kuwait repeatedly during the same period. This is not a pause. It is a low-intensity conflict with a diplomatic overlay. For institutional capital, the second-order play is not oil futures. It is the infrastructure and logistics rerouting trade. The MSC Francesca seizure and the Epaminondas capture signal that container operators are now pricing Gulf transit risk into vessel deployment decisions. Operators who rerouted around the Cape of Good Hope during the Red Sea Houthi disruptions in 2024 know the playbook. Freight rate spreads between Asia-Europe via Suez versus Cape routes will widen if Hormuz seizures continue. That differential benefits dry bulk and container operators with Cape-capable fleets and penalizes operators dependent on Gulf port access. The Baraka perimeter strike is the single most underappreciated data point in this conflict. A drone reaching the perimeter of an operating nuclear plant in the UAE did not produce the market reaction it warranted. If that strike had caused structural damage, the repricing of Gulf sovereign credit, energy infrastructure equity, and Gulf Cooperation Council construction pipelines would have been immediate and severe. The near-miss premium is not in current asset prices. It should be. Plaquemines' position, energy transition capital headed for Gulf solar and hydrogen projects faces a risk horizon that base case models built in 2024 and 2025 did not incorporate. The UAE's Baraka incident and the Fujairah refinery fire are not isolated events. They are signals that the conflict's blast radius is widening, and infrastructure underwriting assumptions need revision before the next capital deployment decision. The bottom line: the U.S.-Iran conflict entered its fourth month on June 1, without a functional ceasefire, with both sides conducting strikes, seizing commercial vessels, and striking third-country infrastructure. Brent crude peaked at $126 per barrel during this period, UK petrol hit 158.5 pence per litre, and Kuwait, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia have all absorbed Iranian kinetic strikes. A deal may still close, but the operational record since April 8 suggests that even a signed agreement will not immediately stop the shooting. Institutional investors should price Gulf exposure on the assumption of 12 to 18 months of elevated volatility, structurally higher war risk insurance premiums, and continued diplomatic noise that obscures rather than resolves the underlying kinetic competition. The Strait of Hormuz remains the single largest concentration of physical risk in global energy markets, and it is not open.